Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, this 1 Corinthians 5 passage is a passage that's set right in the middle of church discipline. You saw that as we read through this, that there was a man that was in this particular congregation in Corinth who was committing sexual immorality, a sexual immorality that even the Gentiles despised. He was committing this sin with his father's wife or with his stepmother. And what you find here in Corinth is that the Corinthians, who are called saints in Christ, if you read beginning in verse 1 of chapter 1, you'll see that he's addressing them as saints in Christ. They were gloating, they were glorying in this situation that was going on. That's why Paul says your glorying is not good. They are to cast out that one who was among them. And Paul says, notice in the church discipline aspect, that when I'm gathered together with you, I've already judged this situation. This man is in a violation of the seventh commandment. And when you gather together, you cast him out of the congregation. And casting him out of the congregation was in fact bringing him under the bonds of Satan. It's turning him over to be delivered to Satan. Out from underneath the covenant community and the blessings in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was to be cast out for the destruction of his flesh, that there might be repentance in this man's life, and that he might be restored again back to the church. You know, when you minimize sin, you're going to minimize the discipline that goes on in the church. We find that today in many churches across this world, there is no church discipline. That's abominable that there's no church discipline. The Lord teaches us to be a church, to be a people that disciplines its sinning members. You recognize in 2 Corinthians 6 that what does Christ have to do with Belial? What does light have to do with darkness? He says, come out from among them and be ye clean, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. We're to be a people that puts off the filthiness of the flesh, and it's to be seen in the way that we live, the way that we think, the way that we speak, and our lives are to be different from that of the unbelieving world. And Paul is here, he was telling them to do this work that God had called them to. You know, in our own congregation, one of our confessions, the Belgic Confession, Article 29, said there are three marks of the true church. Now, as a congregation who believes in the confessions of the church, our living documents, this is what we hold to. And the first element is the pure preaching of the Word of God. The second is the pure administration of the sacraments. And the third is church discipline. If you don't have church discipline, you do not show yourself to be or to demonstrate the mark of the true church. Think about that as that goes on in the congregation. Now, why is that? Why does the Lord call us to discipline in the congregation? Well, you know as well as I do, you have kids, that if your kids go undisciplined, then the next oldest that sees the oldest not being disciplined for a certain sin, well, then they'll think that they can do the same thing, get away with it. And so on and so forth, before they all become corrupted. And it really is true that a bad apple spoils the whole bunch. It has a putrefying effect, and that's why the Apostle Paul says, cast out this man. And it wasn't simply that he was to be cast out for his destruction. The destruction of his flesh, of the sinful mind, of living contrary to the commands of God. Paul did not want to see this man killed. He wanted to see him pummeled spiritually that he might repent. He wanted to see him brought to the depths of despair that he would then look unto the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved and be restored to the church of Jesus Christ. That's what he wanted. You see, discipline is never for destruction of the individual. It's always for the glory of God that they might then be restored. It's for repentance' sake. Repentance brings glory to God. Turning from your sin always more and more brings glory to God. That's the life of the Christian, isn't it? That's 88, 89, 90, and 91 of the Heidelberg Catechism. That's how we live our lives. It's a constant repentance and turning from the sins in our lives as God reveals them to us. What do you do when your sin is revealed? What do you do, beloved, when your particular sin is exposed? Do you run like Adam to put on your fig leaves, whatever they may be? Or do you run to the Lord and find forgiveness in Him? Because there's abundant forgiveness. There's abundant mercy in our God. God calls us to run to Him, to turn to Him and find that restoration. This man here who had committed this sin was a great abomination. It was spoken of in the book of Leviticus. This was an abominating act. This was an abomination that this man would commit sexual immorality, porneia is the Greek term, with his father's wife. Moses wrote about that. You know, it's interesting, in Genesis 49, it speaks about Reuben. And Reuben was one who was the firstborn, and he was said to have been unstable as water. And he did not inherit the blessing from Jacob. He would not excel, it was said of him. Why? Because he went up to his father's bed and he committed sexual acts with one of his concubines, with one of the handmaidens. And this was not something that was to be done. So the Apostle Paul, if you notice our text this morning, beginning at verse 7, begins to speak to the Corinthians. He begins to tell them, right in the midst. Now notice, it's in the midst of church discipline. It's in the midst of their gloating and glorying about this sexual immorality that's going on in the church. In the midst of that, he says, purge out then the old leaven. The old leaven, the old way of thinking, the old disposition of the heart. Purge it out from your life. It's very reminiscent of what Paul says in Romans 13 when he speaks about, since you have put on Christ, put Him on. What does that mean? Since you have put Him on, put Him on. It almost sounds like it's double talk, doesn't it? You put Him on, then keep putting Him on. But what it's speaking of is an aspect of justification and an aspect of sanctification. Since you have put on Christ at justification, you are clothed in Jesus Christ. Now continually put Him on in sanctification. Be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Paul is saying the same thing here. Purge out the old that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. Now, he uses imagery that's drawn from the Old Covenant, from the book of Exodus. He uses imagery about leaven in the household being purged, changes in lifestyle that was going on. And what he begins here about the purging is to thoroughly clean out, he's referring to, the old leaven, the old way of life. Now, think about this for a moment. With the Israelites, when they were delivered out of slavery and they were brought into the promised land, one of the things that was to happen there is that they were to purge out the leaven in their homes. They were to have bread that was unleavened. Why? Because it was a sign for them that they have left their past life. Whenever they celebrated the Passover feast, it was never to be leavened bread. It was always unleavened because it was a continual teaching reminder to them that they have been cleansed. You have left that old manner of living. Beloved, that's who you are now. You are in Christ. You are the people of God. You have your Bibles there in front of you. Turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. And notice what Peter says about the people of God. Actually, chapter 2 of 1 Peter. This is who you are, your identity in Christ. Coming to Him, verse 4, as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, you, the people of God, you also, he says, as living stones are being built up a spiritual house. Now notice the imagery, beloved. You're no longer in your past life. The sins, the thought life, the lifestyle of that which was opposed to God, you have been brought out from that. That is no longer you. Now you are being built a spiritual house. A spiritual house. For what purpose? A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You have a purpose in your life, and it's to offer spiritual sacrifices to God. Hebrews 13 says it's the fruit of our lips giving praise to God. Paul says in Colossians 3, it's your lifestyle, your manner of living, of giving thanks unto our God in all of our words and works. This is your life. Look at verse 9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His special people. Beloved, that's who you are. You are the special people of God, and you are given this to proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God. You have found mercy in the Lord, and this is your identity in Christ. You are a people of prayer and praise to our God. You cannot go back to an old lifestyle. You cannot go back to a leavened lifestyle of sin and wickedness. If a man is redeemed, and he is redeemed while he is in a fornicating relationship with his girlfriend, he repents of that and he does not return. Now, is the pull always there? Is the temptation, is the desire always there? It's there. He can overcome it now by the working of the Spirit and the Word because he is regenerated in Christ Jesus and he now has the power with the resident Holy Spirit to put that sin off. Sometimes he falls back into it. Sometimes in moments of weakness. So what does he do? He confesses it and he begins to keep on looking unto Jesus. That's our spiritual strength, is Jesus Christ. Keeping the eyes focused upon Him. That's what the writer of the Hebrews says. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, with that imagery in mind, this is what you have when he tells us to purge out the old leaven. Get rid of the old manner of life. You cannot go back to that lifestyle. You have crossed over. Even as the Israelites crossed over the Red Sea, never to return again to Egypt, so we have crossed over from death into life in Jesus Christ. Now, when he speaks about leaven here, be careful about the leaven, because you hear it so often spoken of, the leaven is evil, the leaven is evil. The leaven doesn't refer to evil or to good. It's simply a principle. Okay? It's a principle. In this particular congregation, if I leaven into the lump good teaching, it'll permeate through the whole. If I leaven into the lump bad teaching, it will permeate to the whole. He is speaking of here of the leaven of a certain particular sins and lifestyles, which is evil in their sight. But the leaven itself is a principle. It can be used either for evil or for good. And we find that both. In Matthew 13, you find that principle that's the Word of God leavened into the lump. And he says that you purge it out. Now, the purging there is a thorough cleansing. That's a dealing with your sin, isn't it? It's a dealing with your life. Do you deal with your life? This is what he tells us here. Purge it out. Do you deal with the aspects of your life that need to be dealt with? Do you recognize there are sins of the mind that need to be put off? Why? Because that's the old leaven. It's the old manner of living. Let me give you some old leaven. Galatians 5:19. The works of the flesh are these: fornication, idolatry, adultery, lasciviousness, covetousness, lying, lust, lewdness, and such like. That's the past leaven. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5, such were some of you, actually 6, but you were washed. You were cleansed. You're no longer that. So purge it out. Deal with the sin, not only in your life, but in the congregation. Knowing that this leaven of evil influence with certain particular things that go on in congregations will then spread to the whole. And this cannot happen as the Lord calls us to be a church that demonstrates we are the church by bringing discipline in the church. That you may be a new lump, totally new, completely new. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul teaches in 2 Corinthians 5? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The Greek term is altogether new, completely new. You are not who you once were. When you go to a class reunion and somebody sees you and says, "Hey, so-and-so, I know you." No, you don't. You knew that old guy. I'm no longer the same guy. I think differently. My mind has been changed. And you're going to know here in the next 5 minutes that my mind has been changed. And you're not going to like this new guy because it goes contrary to the old manner of living. It rubs up against the ways of the world, doesn't it? We are to be a people that purge out those things that we may be the new lump, because Paul says, you truly are a new lump. Demonstrate it then. Show it by the sanctification that goes on in your life. You are a new lump in Jesus Christ. You are unleavened, truly, he says. Now notice what he also goes on, and he tells the motivation for doing this. It's looking to Jesus. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Our motivation to be a people that continually cleanses the thought life, the words, the actions, the lifestyle, all of that that goes on, is that Christ is our Passover. Christ was offered for us to the wrath of God once for all time. Christ was that in which we find our forgiveness. Christ is the one and who took and bore all of the wrath of God that we then might be truly a new lump. Now, how can you be focused upon Jesus and his work for you on your behalf and continue in that lifestyle? You see, when we fall into sin, as it's so called, as we indulge our sins and we headlong run into these things, it's simply because we have taken our eyes off of Christ. We stop looking unto Jesus. We start then looking to gratify our sinful flesh, our sinful desires that need to be put off continually. And when you're looking at your sinful desires and satisfying your fleshly desires, your sinful appetites, then what happens? You don't want to be thinking about Jesus. And then when somebody comes and talks about Jesus, then you get angry. That's warning signs, isn't it? Warning signs of a continual repentance that needs to go on in the life. So he says, Christ, your Passover. You remember the Passover. You know, the 10th plague was that of the killing of the firstborn. And the promise was that the Israelites were to take a lamb without spot, without blemish, and they were to take the blood of that lamb and they were to put it upon the doorpost and the lintel above the doorpost, and that the angel of death would then see that blood and would pass by, and those who are then covered in the blood would not taste and would not be touched by the angel of death. Now, that is symbolic of our salvation. When you're trusting in Jesus Christ, you're under his blood. You have been cleansed by his blood. And then what happens? And what happens is the wrath of God does not come to you. Why? Because of our Passover, Jesus Christ. The condemnation that we deserve does not come to us. Why? Because it went to our Passover, Jesus Christ. It was passed over us because of the work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. Now again, this is our problem, isn't it? Is not keeping our mind stayed upon the Lord. Christ, your Passover, was sacrificed for you. Now in your mind's eye, beloved, do you see him there? Do you see the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world? Do you see him fulfilling all the demands of the law? Do you see him being the one who loved the Lord his God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do you see him as the one who loved his neighbor as himself? Do you see him as the one who loved even his enemies and did good unto those who persecuted him and who hated him? You see it in the scripture. Do you see him as the one who then went to the cross, that he went with his face was like a flint, It was rock hard. He would not be dissuaded from going to the cross. This was the Father's will. Even in the garden, as he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Do you see him there, beloved? Do you see him sweating, as it were, great drops of blood in your place? It's Christ who has taken this. This is your Passover in your place. How can then you then go back into that old lifestyle? How can you then indulge in the old leaven, which the Lord tells us to purge out, because you're a new lump? You see him sweating there in the garden. You see him, as it were, crying out to his Father. If there is any other way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Do you see him, beloved, on the cross? You know, they wanted to keep him from the cross. Far be it from you, Lord. This will never happen to you. Get behind me, Satan. This is the very purpose that I came into the world. That he would give his life a ransom for many. Do you see him crying out on the cross? My God, why hast thou abandoned me, forsaken me? Why have you turned your back upon me? That we might be a new lump. We might be cleansed. That the angel of death would not touch us. That our sins would not be punished in hell for all eternity and then cast into the lake of fire. That our Passover was sacrificed for us for that cause. This would bring glory to his Father. I ask, beloved, how can we indulge the sins of the flesh? How can we spend that time in the porneia, the sexually immoral things? It's enticing. But you have the power by the resident Holy Spirit to put these things off and to purge it out of your life. That's a work, isn't it? It's in the aorist tense, and it means it's a snapshot event. It's something that happened once for all time, and it has continuing results in the future. If you've been sacrificed for by Christ, if Christ was in your place, and you are united to him, and he is in you, and you are in him, beloved, that work of purging has begun. And that's the work of sanctification, is to keep on purging the sins of the flesh. He was sacrificed for us. Therefore, keep the feast, not with the old leaven. Not with the old manner. We're going to come and take the Lord's Supper here this morning. As we gather together, how do you come? Do you come in your own strength, in your own power? Do you come in your own person? Your own righteousness, your goodness, your works of service, your attitude, your disposition. Do you come with you, beloved, or you come covered and clothed in Jesus Christ? If you come in you, you're rejected. If you come in you are eating and drinking condemnation to yourself. There's only one way to approach the holy table, and that as a new lump, we come covered and clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, trusting in him. Are you trusting this morning? This is the call to trust and to look to him and to come in him and partake, not in the old manner of living, but in the new manner of living. He gives the understanding here, doesn't he? That there were some, obviously, that were partaking, but yet they were involved in sexual immorality. We cannot be involved as we come to the holy table of the Lord. Paul even says, he goes on in 1 Corinthians 11, some of them slept. It didn't mean they went over there and laid down and had too much to eat and fell asleep. It means they died. They died for partaking of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. Approaching the holy table of the Lord. You know how they approached? They approached an old leaven. That's how they came. We are not to be that people. We keep the feast. Keep it. Not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice. You know what the malice is? It's an evil disposition. It's an evil intent. It's that wickedness of the mind that has an evil desire. Thinks ill about others and deals in that fashion in their mind. It's in the inward man. And then what he speaks about, the wickedness here, that's what breaks forth from the evil intentions of the heart. You know, in Genesis 6, we read that man's thoughts were only evil continually. That's the old leaven. 1 Corinthians 13 teaches us different, doesn't it? The new man in Christ. Love bears all things, hopes all things, believes all things. Love never fails. Put off the old malice in how you view and how you understand things in your mind. We can't be people of guile. But he says we come with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Sincere, genuine. It's a genuine person is a person who is sincere. You're genuinely coming forward to partake of the Lord's Supper because you know yourself to have been forgiven in Jesus Christ. You come in truth, and that means you come the way that God has declared. The only way that you can come in Christ Jesus is how you come to the table of the Lord. Looking unto Him who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Purge out the old, beloved, because you are a new lump. Keep on working at the Christian life. It's God who works in us to will and to work of His good pleasure. But because He has begun this good work in us, we continue to persevere even to the end. And that means a work of sanctification, doesn't it? It means you exercise the means of grace. And when he speaks, it's purging it out. It's not only in the aorist tense, but it's an active voice that means you do it. You are the ones that are doing it. I am doing it in my life. And we must continue to keep on doing it. This work of sanctification is work. And the struggles and the sinful desires and disposition of the heart, they remain right there with us. And that's the struggle in the life. You're sitting here this morning and you're listening to the Word of God. And you're hearing also cheering, aren't you? You're hearing voices in the background. And the voices are of people having fun. And you got a battle going on. You're hearing the word at the same time. You're wondering, I wonder what they're doing over there. I would like to see them doing what they're doing over there. I'd like to watch that. Because we're drawn to that, aren't we? And Paul says, the good, the one that wants to do good, evil is right there with me. It's a distraction. And these are the things that we continually put off that we might be focused on what we're to be focused upon. Paul says it to the Corinthians, says it to us, beloved, as those redeemed, purge out the old, because Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. You go home this afternoon and you focus upon those words. Christ, your Passover. You. And you, and you, and you, and you was sacrificed for you. That being the case, how then ought we to live our lives? Paul says, I beseech you, beloved brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. This is God's perfect and acceptable, His honorable will that He calls His children to walk in. Purge it out, because you truly are, beloved, a new lump in Jesus Christ. Amen.